Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I am right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another Paranormal Whispers episode, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I am your co-host, Mandy.
And I am your co-host, Ben.
And we are fortunate enough to be here with my buddy, Judy, who is with Cincinnati Research and Paranormal Studies.
Yay.
She also does the tours at Music Hall, which is someplace nice. I haven't been able to get to yet, but it's on my bucket list. How you doing tonight, Judy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Hanging in there. Mm-hmm. All that fun stuff. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. I love to talk about Music Hall.
I bet it's a fascinating place.
Is that Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice.
It's Cincinnati Music Hall. It's down on Elm Street downtown.
Okay.
Not the best part of town, but it's pretty anyway.
It's where it's over the Rhine. It's up and coming now because
Definitely.
Oh, is it over the Rhine?
Yeah, it's in over the Rhine.
Oh yeah, they're building that place up like crazy.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's good for you guys. Not as dangerous anyway.
It doesn't really affect us, but it's good for Music Hall. So
yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. So tell us about your group and how you got started in this crazy hobby we have.
We were friends before we were ghost hunters. Back in, I think it was 2008, we were all out to dinner one night and discovered we all had the same interest in all things paranormal. We heard you could go spend the night in Mansfield Reformatory, and we thought, oh, that sounds like fun. So off we went. I always say back then, all I had was a film camera and a mini cassette recorder that I borrowed from my daughter, who used to record her class lectures in college with it.
Uh-huh.
And so after a night at Mansfield, we were all pretty much hooked. There were originally 10 of us. And since then, we've traveled all over the place, going to public and private locations of paranormal activity. We got involved with Music Hall back in 2010, I think it was. Our first tour that we ever did there was on Halloween in 2010.
Very cool.
And we've done close to 150 tours or events there since then.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a lot, but I just love walking in that building. So
so for those people who don't know about Music Hall, can you tell us a little bit about the history? Because it's got some pretty crazy history.
It does have some crazy history. Music Hall wasn't originally on the site, of course. The property from like 1830s, the property was used for a pauper's field or a potter's field, where they buried the poor, the indigent. When nobody claimed the body, mm-hmm. You ended up being buried there. In the 20s and 30s, there was a building on the site that was used as a hospital for people with contagious diseases, not meant to cure them, only meant to confine them and to keep them separated from the rest of the population.
Oh, wow.
Then during the 1830s, there was cholera epidemics and all kinds of horrible diseases running rampant in the city. And it left a lot of kids orphans. Mm-hmm. So there was an orphanage built on the site that operated down there for a short period of time. And where Music Hall sits today, behind it, where Central Parkway is, used to be the Erie Canal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's where the Erie Canal ran. And because of the water quality in the Erie Canal and all this, they moved the orphanage to healthier grounds. And then they had a building on the site called Sanger Hall, which was never meant to be a permanent building. It was a temporary building, and it was built to house the music festivals that they had back then for singing. It was singing competitions. After a few years, it was decided that we needed a more permanent building for any event that we were going to have. And that's when Music Hall was built. I think it was the construction on the hall began in 1876, and it was completed, I believe, in 1878.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a very neat looking building.
It has almost a quarter of a million square feet in it.
Oh wow, really?
That's giant.
It's a lot bigger than you would ever imagine it to be.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was quite that big.
You know, if you've ever been there for a concert or anything, you know, when you walk into the hall, you go, "Oh, this is nice and it's beautiful." Until you see everything else that's involved with it, whether it's rehearsal space, dressing rooms, there's a huge amount of space in the building.
Wow. Now, we all know the place is haunted.
Yes.
Do you think one of the reasons is because some of the bodies weren't all moved? Because didn't a couple of years ago they come across a grave when they were rebuilding something?
Every time they have dug on the property, they have found bones. It was a pauper cemetery.
Yeah.
You know, and not just for paupers, because I believe one time when they dug, they actually found a headstone.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't just poor people apparently that were buried there, but every time. And when was it? 2018. They closed it for 2 years and did extensive renovations, and yes, found more bones and bodies and bones under skulls under the stage at Music Hall. And every time they've dug, they back in the 1920s, they were putting in a freight elevator, and they found bones there, and they put them in a what can only be called a concrete crypt.
Oh, really? That's still on the property?
In the 1980s, when they redid the hydraulics again, they found the bones and said, "Oh, we don't know where this came from."
Wow.
And took them a week to figure it out. And that's when they moved the bones to a cemetery instead of leaving them there. But
incredible.
There's bones and bodies have been found at every turn down there. So. Yeah.
So almost definitely still some there.
Exactly. Some of the reports, though, of the stories that we've heard of the hauntings, there appears to be a lady, they call her the Lady in White, who a member of the housekeeping crew told us that he thinks she was a performer there.
Mm. Oh, okay.
We don't know that, but... very regal, very finely dressed. She's been seen outside the building, inside the building, just dressed in a light colored Victorian dress.
Oh, wow.
Just walking through. So
kind of wonders sometimes if like spirits stay where they're the happiest, right? And maybe performing was something that she just loved to do, and she's going to do it forever, right?
Right. Well, you know, I have a theory that, you know, the energy levels are so high at theaters.
Yes. Yeah.
Because of the acting or the performing, whatever group of people, whether it's ballet, symphony, or whatever, that I think the energy level and yes, if they loved that place and they were very attached to it, well, of course you're going to go back to where you were the happiest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't blame them.
I don't either.
Do you think do you guys have any spirits that are more, seem angrier, that, you know, maybe they're kind of pissed off because, you know, their bodies weren't moved?
No, not really. They were featured, Cincinnati Music Hall was featured on the most terrifying places in America one year. And it's like, they're not really terrifying. Why would you say that? They're very happy. None of them are mean. We did have a report during renovations where somebody tried to push a construction worker off of a ladder. I don't know what was going on there, but most of the time I have not heard reports of anyone feeling like they were in danger or anything. Yeah.
Doesn't that seem to be a thing though, like where spirits get mad at renovations? They don't want like the buildings changed. Yeah,
that's right. They don't want the buildings changed. We've at least that's what we're led to believe by, you know, people who tell us that. We had a psychic walk through during the renovations with us, and she said some of them had left during the renovations, some of them remained because they were concerned about the renovations. So, you know. I mean, who's to say? I'd be concerned if they were messing with my home.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Me too.
I feel bad for the people doing the renovations, though. You don't just have your boss overseeing you. Now you have like 100 spirits that are making sure you do it correctly.
But how do those spirits know if you're doing it correctly or not?
That's a good point, Judy.
You know, they're not. I don't know if they're electricians or if they even understand what, you know, what. I think they don't understand what's going on, which might piss them off to begin, you know.
Yeah, they might think you're damaging their home instead of improving it.
It doesn't look like it used to. This can't be right.
Oh, that's incredible. Now,
yeah.
Do you guys have any confirmation of the spirits that are there? Like any history of who you think might still be there?
We don't have any. I can't say we have any confirmation. There has been, you know, whether this lady, we've heard all kinds of, there are so many spirits in that building that there are everything from kids who probably lived at the orphanage.
Oh.
And they've had, you know, so we've had heard stories of a little boy who plays hide and seek in the backstage area with the stage hands. He's been seen standing to the side of the stage watching the opera.
Wow.
He was seen, there was a stagehand who was eating lunch one day and he had the dock door open and these two kids walked up and said, "Can we come in?" And he said, "No, this is a working theater." And he said, "Well, how'd that kid get in there?" Now, the stagehand didn't see anybody, but the two kids that were standing outside saw a little boy inside there.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, there's just, you know, there's a little girl who's seen. There are all kinds of spirits there. We have never, you know, records from back then would be horrible.
Right.
So you have no way. And even though, you know, as you both know from being ghost hunters, you always ask them to give them, you know, what's your name?
Yeah.
And they never do, you know, well, no. They do for some people, but I've never been that lucky.
It always seems like they never give the names to the people who are there all the time.
True.
Because I can't get any names out of Bobby Mackey's and it's been 8 years. So, yeah.
That ought to be an easy one because, you know, well, no, maybe not. I was going to say because you know who what went on there. But, you know, if it was some, I believe Bobby Mackey's might have something to do with the mafia history there. And
so, it absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big mob ties. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised Music Hall doesn't because, you know, that they were still running rampant back then, too.
But Music Hall has always been owned by the city.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they have somebody managing it for them. They have a group that manages it for them. But so, and then, you know, the opera, the symphony, all the resident companies that work out of there, plus the May Festival chorus and things like that, you know, so they, plus all the concerts that have been there and the pops and the list just goes on and on, but.
Yeah.
So now, and I have never heard of any mafia connection to it, but that would be interesting to see.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. You may still have some people buried underneath your floor. We think we do.
Oh, yeah, I would have that too.
Absolutely not. Now, but, what have you personally experienced at Music Hall?
It's one of those, the most common thing, when you see it in your peripheral, mm-hmm. and you can't move quick enough, but you know yeah. there's somebody there.
Yeah.
That happens a lot down there. We just did, it's hard, our tours are very, we don't know when we're going to be able to do them. And we do them in association with the Friends of Music Hall, which is the nonprofit arm of Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And so we have to wait until there's nobody in the building at all. So not during symphony season, not during pop season, not during opera wow. season.
It's a limited window.
It is. We only did four this year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because there were no other dates available. They're already looking for dates for 2023, but I don't know when I'll hear from our liaison with the Friends of Music Hall about dates. But so it's, you know, you have to go in when there's nobody else there for the tours. So, but as far as things we've experienced, I've heard a girl, and I don't know if it's a girl or a woman, laughing. Mm-hmm. I think
no, because sometimes I have
another member of the team, Terry, who I think you know because she worked on the world's largest ghost hunt.
Yeah, I know her.
She actually, we were down in the basement and she saw a set of legs run behind a symphony mm-hmm. case.
Oh wow.
And it was just from like waist down. She said, I think they were little boy legs because he had on shorts.
Oh.
And she could see the legs, but she couldn't see anything above the waist.
Wow.
So we've heard whistling. We've heard footsteps walk the length of the ballroom on the ballroom that's on the second floor. Uh-huh. We've gotten, you know, different EVPs and things that we've captured, not many. I think what happens down there is more, we see a lot more visual things or hear when, of course, it's always when you don't have your audio recorder.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the norm. So I've actually sat on the stage of Music Hall one night during an investigation we were doing and watched a shadow walk into the gallery there's the main floor, the balcony, and then the gallery level, and they walked in a door on the gallery level, walked halfway across, and then disappeared. And I don't it was like I don't know where they went, but
wow.
We've had Kevin, another member of our group, he had a backpack up there when he was setting up equipment one night on the gallery level, and he couldn't find his backpack and came back downstairs to where we all were and said, did I leave my backpack down here? We said, no. Went back up to the gallery and lo and behold, there it was, sitting outside the door, waiting for him.
Oh, somebody likes to play pranks then.
Yeah.
Yes, sounds yes. Like... Or somebody just wanted him not to be there. The equipment. So
that could be true too.
All kinds of things like that. So
what are some of the EVPs that are... That you've captured that are good. Sorry, Ben.
Personally, my favorite is I was in the backstage area talking to somebody else because you can hear me walking away and talking, and there's a voice that says, I want to talk to you.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah, we don't know what they said, wanted to talk about because they never said anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, given the limited dates that you're able to get in there, do you do like larger tours and just kind of bring in large groups, or is it just kind of first come, first serve, the lucky people?
the Friends of Music Hall, we just kind of, we help facilitate. I'm the ghost guide, so to speak, the ghost tour guide. But the Friends, it's really the Friends of Music Hall's tours. And they do set them up. There are, I believe, 40 tickets sold to any.
Okay, so there's a lot of people.
Any tour.
Nice.
it's not really as big as it, you know.
Well, with the square footage of it, yeah.
You know, we can walk through the hall pretty, you know, and then so there's me, and then there's a couple other members of my team who we call them our shepherds, so that nobody wanders off and gets lost.
That was my next question, if they were allowed to wander off, but you guys kind of keep them in a group.
Yeah, we kind of herd them. Sometimes it's like herding cats, but we still do it. So
nobody free roam. Is that because of the building itself?
Yes. Okay. Well, yes, that too. So, well, I, you know, they just don't want people to wander around the building, you know, because.
Yeah, especially with 40, it'd be easy to lose one or two that might want to try to stay there all night when you leave, right?
You're in this historical building that they just did millions of dollars worth of renovations on. So, and we have people ask that all the time, you know, can we do an overnight investigation there? It's like, yeah, it would cost an arm and a leg if you could get the approval of Music Hall to allow you to do it, because then they would have to have security there all night, and they're they have to work within their parameters too of what their contracts say with different groups. So it's cost prohibitive to do an overnight investigation. In the past, we have been able, and we haven't done this for a couple years with COVID and the renovations and everything. But we used to do 5-hour investigations from like 9 to 1 or something, or 8 to 1 or whatever. And there were only 24 tickets sold. We divided the 24 into 3 groups of 8. Me and the team split up and took everybody. So you spent maybe an hour in each location, but you would be amazed at the activity that would happen within an hour in certain locations. So,
wow.
There's a room called Corbett Tower. The doors were closed, but I could see footsteps pacing back and forth outside the door. From the, you know how you can see the light under the door?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I turned to the 8 people sitting at the table. I said, "Do you guys see that?" And one guy jumped up, ran to the door, opened it, fully expecting that we had somebody planted out there that we were messing with him.
Oh, so he's going to try to. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Didn't work. He didn't, there was nobody there. He went down a floor, still nobody there. So no, he was, we don't have to do anything like that in that building.
No. Sounds like that place is too big to actually do that if you wanted to.
It's, if you've never, have you never been there, Ben?
Not, I haven't.
All right, Ben, are you from Cincinnati?
I'm from, I live in California now. Okay. I did live near Cincinnati for a long time, but yeah, I think I've seen it from the outside. Is it kind of a reddish color?
Yeah, it's a red brick. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it from the outside.
It's a gorgeous building. It's beautiful, but now that they've done renovations, it's even more beautiful inside. So,
do they give like day tours? Just, you know, regular?
They do historic tours. They call them historic tours. Yes, they do.
Would they frown if I brought my digital recorder with me?
They would probably ask, "What is that? And what are you doing with it?" You know what? On our tours, we always tell people, please, you know, if you have your ghost hunting equipment, turn it on. We've had the last tour, I think it was, or a time before, people brought dowsing rods with them.
Yeah.
So, and they said they were talking to somebody. Instead of listening to me talk, they were over talking to ghosts and singing, you know. can we take a picture of you? Now, the pictures that they sent me, they said, "We ask, and here she is," and I don't really see much there, but
I hate to break people's hearts when they send pictures like that. It's just like, well, you never know.
Well, now I tend to be honest and say, you know what, I do not see it, but you know, but you can't, you know, if you go into the explanation, then they think, oh, well, you know, she thinks she knows what she's talking about. If you say, you know, we make shapes, you know, we can make patterns out of randomness. It's called pareidolia, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Yeah. And they get, they get very put out by those explanations.
Especially when it comes to orbs.
Information blows. Yes. Oh, yeah. Let's not even get started on.
Yeah, orbs. I don't
see you should get the picture and just be like, "Yep, that's a ghost."
My God, we'd have 18 million ghosts floating around everywhere if we did that.
And the thing is, with orbs, you know, I've had people send me pictures of those, and I've actually had them show them to me on the tour. Look, I just took this picture, and look, there's an orb in it, and it's like, you know what? Here's the easiest way for me to explain this to you. You take the picture and you're not looking through the lens or anything. Can you see dust floating in the air? Because guess what? That's what you're capturing on your picture. Yeah.
Especially in a building from the 1800s.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So yeah, we do get orb photos, and you know, it's just like, no. And I even will say, you know, 95% of orbs are really just dust or whatever, but
dust, bugs, light refractions. Yeah.
Right.
Not a ghost.
Not a ghost. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Hey, didn't burst your bubble.
Yeah. I've heard, and I think it's been, we've heard it on our podcast actually, right? People have seen orbs in the air that were colored with their naked eye. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's different. Yes.
Or there's, I've actually captured one, and I can't remember where I was at, but there was movement to it.
Yeah, the weird non-bug-like
movement.
It's not
going the way that makes sense. Yeah,
non-bug-like movement. And it was like circle, 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 circle. You know, it was a weird thing, but it's like, I just kind of went, you know, if I can't say definitively that that's, you know, a spirit orb or something, then I just kind of threw it out. But yeah, it was a weird photo.
We had, I think it was a group we just interviewed for the episode we put out today. He had a big group that went to Mackey's, I don't know, a month or two ago. And I was the one doing the tour. And he was telling me about a video that they caught down in the Wall of Faces room where he saw an orb, quote unquote, go into this lady's back. And without anybody saying anything, as soon as it hit her back, she said, "Ow, my back's hurting."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
weird.
So that is something I might give a little bit of credibility to.
I'd be very curious to see the footage.
Yeah, I haven't seen the footage yet either. Yeah.
It would be
and
interesting
to see what the orb looks like, if it looks like a little piece of dust floating around and hitting her back.
Right. Because it hitting her back and then disappearing makes sense, because if it was dust, it would disappear at that point.
Right.
But the fact that she said ow and looks like it made her body move. But you got to think too, it's possible that the orbs aren't the important part, right? Maybe what's pushing the dust around in the air.
True.
Maybe. That's
a good theory.
Especially when they're not traveling the way that makes sense. It's like, is it the orb that's a spirit, or is there a spirit pushing the dust out of the way
when they're hiding?
They're tidy. Yes, they're cleaning up.
Yeah, they're clean. They're cleaning up for us. I don't know. It's an interesting theory. I think it may be a little bit far fetched, but yeah. I mean, in my opinion, 99%
my theory is far fetched, but floating spirits is perfectly normal.
Well,
but I think the thing is, if there is a spirit floating through there that is disrupting the air and causing dust to move,
right,
in a
pattern that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Yeah.
So
that, you know, that's kind of makes you go, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, how often does that ever happen? Yeah.
Oh my God. There are so many theories out there. Well, there are
so many theories.
And then there are so many people who just think that they already have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I claim to have no answers.
I've got no answers.
Wow, isn't this cool?
We have theories. That's all we have. That's all any of us have, theories, because we're not going to know for sure until we're dead.
Well, the other thing I always say is, you know, we haven't managed to get a spirit into a laboratory where we can test and retest and retest to see if we get the same results all the time. Well, and you could do that. Some could say, well, wherever you're hunting ghosts at is your laboratory. Well, yeah, but they don't act the same all the time.
And they don't come out on command, that's for sure.
Right. And is the same person seeing the lady in white over and over again? Or is she seen by different people?
Well, my lady in white, she is seen by different people.
Right.
Has anybody been able to get photos of her?
There.
No photos.
Don't you hate that?
I know. A lot. And some of the stories that we have were like, you know, before cell phones became rampant and before, you know, they all had good cameras on them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they saw something or they know what they saw, but there's no picture of it. So now there are some, and I share these on our Facebook page just because, you know what, I can't explain it. You guys take a look at it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
But I have posted photos out there that people have sent me after the tours. And there's one, there was one that was just sent like a month or two ago. And, or maybe it was, there was one that in within the last month that we're in Corbett Tower and she took a picture of the doorway. And it really does look like it's not a clear cut shape, but there's a fuzzy looking shape. It looks like it's peeking in the door.
Oh, that's cool.
So can I say for sure that's a ghost? No, but hey, look at this and see what you think of it, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It never hurts. It's not dust. It's not dust particles, that because the shape is like over 5 foot tall, I'd say.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's white. The shape is white too. So,
oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Not your typical shadow figure.
No.
That I see all the time.
And then there was one sent in a couple of years ago, I think, where we were on the stage and she shot up into the house, into the balcony. Uh-huh. And it looks like there's somebody standing in a doorway up there.
Oh, no, that's cool.
And so, you know, can I say for sure what these are? No, nobody can, but it, you know, and then I go back and try to recreate them. I'll go back and take a picture in the same spot.
Yeah.
And if I can't recreate it, then
it could be something. Yeah.
Then it could be something.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're trying to debunk it first. That's always a good thing.
Always.
Yeah. You kind of have to in this day and age.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And that's always a good rule of thumb, people. If you catch something, try to recreate it. Because
the other thing I always tell people, there was one lady who sent in a photo and I said, can I see the photos before and after this? She said, well, I didn't take any photos before or after.
No, yeah, always photo burst.
Always do it in burst mode. Yeah, always just burst them, because you can throw them all out if there's nothing there. But if there's something there, it will appear and disappear. So
right, yeah, that's another good rule of thumb too that we always go by.
Yeah, exactly. So
well, other than music hall, what are some other places that have just blown your mind, or places that you really like to investigate?
Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Girl, you and me too. Oh my God. One of my faves.
Oh, I was actually told to get out of that place.
We were too. We actually have it on EVP. I can't remember where we were, but we had a door slam and then somebody said, get out. Got it on EVP.
I found out that part of Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum was built during the Civil War, of course.
Yep.
And the engineers were out of Camp Dennison, Ohio, which is where I used to live.
Oh, cool.
And so I didn't know this when I walked in there, but it was in the basement near the kitchen area or something. And this place went back and forth between the Union and the Confederates during the battle there. And so I was asking, is Grant your general, and should Negroes be freed, and is Abraham Lincoln your president, things like that.
Yeah.
And I had answers of no and no, and then get out. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't hear him until I got back home, but.
They must have thought you were Union siding.
Probably. I do tend to lean that way. So, yeah.
You're lucky they didn't hurt you, because I've heard they can get pretty reckless down in the kitchen, especially with women.
I've heard that too, but I don't know. They didn't bother me, so it was all good. But.
Yeah, I don't think we got anything in the kitchen. I know we were up, you know, kind of where all the cells and stuff were. I actually caught a shadow person on camera peeking out of a door.
Ooh.
Which is so hard to do, but it's one of my favorite pictures. But oh my gosh, awesome. that place was active, no kidding, from the time we walked in until the time we left.
We've been there a couple times, and like, you know, I think the first time it was like crazy active. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, you know, we were there for a while and it was pretty good. And then all of a sudden it just went silent.
Oh, wow.
And Moundsville is another place.
I haven't been there yet. That's one of my, on my bucket list. I know, I know.
Oh my God. That has some of the darkest energy I've ever felt. Dark.
I've also heard that. Yeah.
Dark energy. I mean, we were walking down this hallway and Terry was taking pictures and I could see men standing in the doorway down there. I could see them in tan pants and tan shirts. And I looked at, and there's nothing in Terry's picture, but I said, I don't think we ought to go down there. So we turn around and start walking back towards the lobby and she's taking pictures over the back of her head.
Yeah.
And looking at him, taking another picture, looking at him, taking another picture. And we get back to the lobby. I said, what were you doing? And she said, didn't you hear those footsteps behind us? And I said,
oh, wow. Man.
I said, yeah, I just want to know if you heard them. But she said she fully expected to take a picture and see somebody standing there because she could hear the footsteps behind her.
That's always creepy when they start following you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's... But isn't that what we live for? Isn't that what we want?
Well, yeah, yeah. And, you know, as soon as it happens, it's scary.
They can follow me around the place. They just shouldn't follow me
just
home.
Just don't follow you home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't follow me home. Exactly. Did you guys get any good...
throughout the building, but...
Any good EVPs from there or Trans-Allegheny?
I think it was Moundsville? I think it was Moundsville that we got one that said, I'm always watching you.
Oh, that's comforting.
Like always, not just when you're here.
It's, yeah, it was like, oh my God, that's creepy. It's like, I'm always watching you. It's, oh my God.
You know, I wonder if they do that sometimes just because they get a kick out of freaking people out.
Sure they do. Well, you know? If they have a sense of humor, they do. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think it's partially that or partially maybe that like in the last place you were talking about, they want you to leave for real. They're just like, get out of my space.
Yeah.
I often wonder if they get tired of people coming through asking, you know, probably the same questions.
Yeah.
What's your gosh. Name? Do you know what year it is? How old are you? You know, they're like, screw you, you know.
Well, I tell you what, we had so many tours in October with Mackie's that, I mean, our ghosts were getting pissed off at people being there because I think every tour I had, they were told to get out on more than one occasion, like over Spirit Box and that type of thing.
Now, I have to tell you, I've never walked into Bobby Mackie's. I refuse to.
Girl, come on. I'll take you in there.
No. I just, there are some places I know I shouldn't go, and that's one of them.
There's no like demons.
Any, like the upstairs or the basement or like all of it?
We went over there one night, just we've been out to dinner and we decided, oh, let's go to Bobby Mackey's and see what's going on. Maybe do the $5 tour or something way back in the day, you know? And I got over there and it was jam packed because it was probably a Saturday night and all the college kids were in there. And it's like, you know what? The vibes are here are so bad that I just don't even need to walk in there. So,
girl, come on. I walk in there by myself.
Well, good for you.
Well, not in the basement anyway, but upstairs.
I've been in the basement by myself.
Now, yeah. I know two members of our, Kevin and Sheila, have been there frequently.
Have they?
But Kevin's the one in our group that nothing ever happens to him. So he doesn't have to worry wherever he goes, nothing happens.
Oh, so he's your ghost stop then. There's always one.
Ghost repellent.
Oh gosh. Well, see, you can come to Mackie's with him.
Yeah, no, because stuff happened. We were down at Waverly Hills. First time we were at Waverly Hills. And it was when they still had the first floor open.
Okay.
And we're walking down Waverly Hill through the first floor, and I look in this doorway, and I backed up and looked again. And he said, what do you see? And I said, well, there's a guy in a doctor's jacket, a lab coat, standing in there at the window with his arm on the sash. And he said, no, there's not. Well, I just saw him, so right. I don't know where he went. But
so it doesn't protect you. He's just fine.
He just doesn't see anything, and then he gets very I have to tell him not to listen to this since I'm talking about him. But he'll be like, oh, why didn't it ever happen to me? And it's like, I don't know, but it happens to me all the time. So
maybe he just closed off and just doesn't really want anything to happen.
He will tell you he's not. He will tell you that it's, you know, that he would just love for something to happen.
Oh, goodness. I
mean, he's even been to the Stanley and nothing happened.
You know, I kind of wonder if the Stanley really is haunted or if it's just, you know, a lot of hype because of Stephen King.
Well, you know, Stephen King wrote that, you know, he based it on his stay there because things did happen to him. So, I mean, we all know that every place has a chance of being haunted.
Lots of energy everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere. So it's, you know, is it truly haunted there? I don't know. So
it'd just be residual. I mean, I think most places have some kind of residual something.
True.
You know, especially,
yeah,
you know, in these historic places, you know, it may not be actual intelligent ghost haunting, but there's some kind of energy stuck there.
Yeah. For whatever reason, residual, because they don't know you're there. They don't care that you're there. They just go through their normal daily process.
Right.
So they're fine.
Do you have any other places that you have had some pretty cool experiences that you can think of?
I've been in Gettysburg like 3 times. Ever been there?
Oh God, no, that's like number one on my bucket list.
That's the best place in the world.
That's what I heard.
And when we were there, you could stay out on the battlefield till like 10 o'clock at night. Now I think they close at 8.
Yeah, they don't let you out there past dark. Oh.
Yeah, but when we went the first time, you could be out there till 10 o'clock at night, which was really, really awesome because we walked Pickett's Charge at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, man. Did you have anything happen?
Not at Pickett's Charge. Oh, and while we were there, though, we stayed at the Cashtown Inn in Cashtown, which is notoriously haunted, too.
Oh, okay.
And the room I was in, and I was sharing the room with a member of our team, Cheryl, and they were sitting on the front porch. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and they were having an adult beverage, you know, that closed the evening out. And, I said, I'm going to bed. So I went up to bed, and I'm laying there, and I'm all snuggled in, and I could feel the covers on the foot of my bed moving.
Oh.
And Cheryl walked in, and I said, Cheryl, are the covers at the bottom of the bed moving? And she said, well, yes, they are.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the next morning we went down to breakfast and I told the innkeeper, I said, you know, I had the weirdest thing happen. I was in this room and the covers at the bottom of the bed started moving. And he said, oh, that's the wife of the original innkeeper. She likes to make sure everybody's tucked in at night.
Oh, no, that's sweet.
Yeah. I didn't know it at the time. It's sweet after the fact, but it's like, why are these covers?
I mean, I hope she told guests when she was alive that she did that, because when she did it in real life, it would still be scary if you just wake up and she's tucking you in.
some weird lady tucking you in at night. It's like, whoa. But yeah, and then there was a room on the third story of Cashtown that's, I think it's called the General Lee Suite. And I believe it was General Lee's room when the battle was going on.
Oh, wow.
And we were sitting up there one night and something kept bumping into the back of the couch. Now, none of us were moving. We were all sitting still. But something was bumping into the back of the couch. Now, I don't know if they were trying to tell us to get out of there. Or they just, you know, walked into the couch on accident. I don't know. But it was very definite. I love Gettysburg. I would go back there anytime.
Yeah.
Let's plan a trip. Because I need to go.
Okay. Next year, 2023. Go to Gettysburg. There are all kinds of wonderful little haunted bed and breakfast you can stay at.
There's one. I can't remember what it's called because Kim, before she passed, they went out to Gettysburg and I think they stayed there. But it's like right on a battlefield.
Yeah.
So.
Kevin and on our group would know all the names of them because he's really good at planning this stuff. So but there are several that are like right on the battlefield or at the edge of the battlefield because the battlefield encompasses most of the city.
Yeah, I've heard it's huge. Like you don't realize how big it is.
We also did, it's a museum. There in downtown, it's like across the street from, oh crud, what's her name, the girl, the
Jenny Wade.
That's her. Thank you very much. We did Jenny Wade's house too when we were there. We investigated it too. But there's a museum across from Jenny Wade's house that was very creepy, and it's something about it was they had kids, you know, it was an orphanage and they would lock the kids in the basement.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that owner's horrible. Or the one
I'm ignorant. Who's Jenny Wade?
Jenny Wade was the only civilian killed at the Battle of Gettysburg. She was actually baking bread for I don't know if it was for the troops or for her family, and the bullet came through the door and killed her.
Oh, wow. Yep.
You can still see the bullet hole in the door.
Yeah. And I believe like 3 months after she died, or maybe not even that long, her fiance or boyfriend died. He was not in Gettysburg, but he was a soldier.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. There's some connection between her and her significant other, or fiance or boyfriend or whatever, dying at the same time or near the same time, or which made the story even sadder.
Yeah.
Well, not really, because if they died at almost the same time, they could be together.
They got to go together. Yeah.
To go together. Well, didn't have to live without each other.
And then they had, they put her body in the basement. Until,
Yeah.
And that room's creepy as all get out too, but
I've heard.
and the story is that her father supposedly comes down there. Her father was not a very good person and wasn't very good to the family, apparently, I don't think. And that, but the rumor is that her dad is in the basement too, but I don't know that. So
do they have a mannequin in the bed that's supposed to be her down that room?
Maybe. I don't remember that, but
it sounds horrible.
Well, I just remember it on Ghost Adventures that Zach went and laid in a bed
with
the mannequin.
Ah.
So I don't, he's ridiculous, but
I think I'd be more afraid of a mannequin in a dark room in a bed in a basement than a ghost.
Oh, goodness.
Nah, well, I'd be more afraid of Zach Baggins in a bed in a basement.
I'm right there with you on that one.
I talk to people all the time to say, oh, what ghost shows do you watch? And it's like,
none.
Now, Ghost Hunters since they Music Hall.
Did they do Music Hall?
Yes, they did.
How much did they fake?
How much? Well, I'll tell you this. I actually got to walk around with the producer and tell her where the hotspots were.
Oh, really?
So they did actually validate a lot of our experiences with their experiences in the same areas. Isn't that remarkable?
Well, that's interesting. I hope it was real
the thing that got me about it was, everybody thinks ghost hunting's exciting. That's because they edit it down to 1 hour for TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, what people don't get is that these shows are there for several days, having stuff filming 24/7. So
5 days. Yeah. Five days.
They were there for 5 days. Yeah.
And they shoot B rolls and reaction shots. And it's like, I never thought of that. I kind of believed until.
I think it was in their third season when I found out that they were accused of faking evidence. And since then I haven't watched them, and I knew Ghost Adventures does.
Oh yes.
Lord have mercy.
Was it the one guy who used to be on? The Nick dude wrong guy? No.
Oh, Brian. Brian.
Brian.
Something. Brian H. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah, whatever his name. It would not surprise me because I think they were at Eastern State Penn and they saw the black thing. It's like, we all know that was faked, whatever it was. I don't know if they faked it or not, but somebody faked it. So.
Yeah, it's a shame. And that's, people just need to understand these TV shows are for entertainment only, because that's all it is.
They would not stay on the air as long as they've been on the air if they didn't find something at every location. So and the rest of us,
like, this episode was a bust.
We got absolutely nothing. Yeah, exactly. Well, there go their ratings down the tubes. And there's the rest of us who do it as a hobby and not a livelihood.
Right.
Just, we're just happy to be in the location. All right. So nothing happened, but.
But you had fun and you joked around.
We had fun and we could come back and try again. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I love the history of the buildings too. That's what really is a huge turn on for me with this.
Exactly. I was actually a history major in college, so this fits right for me. Yeah. So.
This is right up your alley then, definitely.
The joke with the family is it's not a vacation if we don't go to a battlefield if I'm on the trip. So,
or some haunted location. Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Well,
here.
No, I mean, this was even before I started ghost hunting. We would, you know, I've been to so many battlefields, especially I have an affinity for Civil War battlefields. So.
Yeah.
Before I started hunting ghost, I used to go. I was actually, before I started hunting ghost, I was at the Winchester Mansion out in California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's actually like 40 miles from me, and I still haven't been there.
That's ridiculous.
It's an awesome building. And we were actually on a tour and walking out of a room, and the light was on in the room, of course, because, you know, you've got all these tourists walking through. Mm-hmm. And as the last person left the room, the light turned off.
Wow. That is cool. Now, when you were walking through there, could you feel anything?
Not, and I don't know whether I didn't focus on it, you know, because mm-hmm. I was taking all these pictures of all this architectural craziness that was in the building. So it was like, wow, look, a floor or a door in the floor that drops through, you know, that'll drop you through the ceiling. How cool is that? God love her. She was a tortured soul, but house is something else.
Yeah, that's definitely another place that's on my bucket list.
You ought to fly out and see Ben, and then the two of you could go do it together.
Well, we've actually talked about that because we also do true crime. So we want to do Charles Manson, and I'd actually like to go stay at Barker Ranch and Spawn Ranch too while we do it.
Mansfield, wasn't it Mansfield Reformatory? Was Mansfield, where was he before he was trained? One of the prisons I've been to actually had a letter from Charlie wanting to be transferred there. Huh. And but I can't remember whether it was Moundsville.
That's where he wanted to go?
Yeah.
Because I know he died out here in San Quentin.
Yes. Yes, he did. But this was earlier on. This was before the big mass murder. This was one of his other crimes that he did time for.
Huh. I had to research that.
I will let you know about that, Mandy, which prison it was. I'll check with Kevin because I will see him this week. But
I don't think it's Mansfield because you would think that's something that they would publicize.
I think it's Moundsville. I think it's Moundsville because they have an electric chair there and they have a whole little museum of all this, you know, stuff. And I think
Mansfield does too.
Well, that's true too.
I do too now. And it's, oh gosh, they've got it behind glass, but oh, you can still feel the icky energy coming off of it. It is, I can't even, it's sickening really.
Yes.
It's still, in my morbid self, it's still very fascinating. I don't know why.
Because things like that are fascinating, so too. True crime.
Now, if it wasn't behind glass, would you sit in it?
Yes, I would.
Ugh,
I would. I would. No, just to see. I would actually like to do one of those.
Get strapped in?
No, I wouldn't go that far because that's too confining. I would actually like to do, what is it, Gonsfield experiment or whatever, where you use noise-canceling headphones and put on a blindfold. And you have somebody whispering questions and you're listening to a spirit box to see if you can get answers and kind of,
I would like
to do that.
We've talked about doing that as an experiment next time we do an investigation somewhere.
We've tried it once. We were at the dollhouse, which I hate dolls. I can't believe I went there, but we were just giggling and laughing the whole time. We didn't take it seriously. Like, you know, when Kim was doing it, I kept touching her leg. She's like, something just touched my leg. You know, we're all laughing and joking and we didn't really take it seriously. So I'd like to do it and, you know, actually be serious about it in some place really cool. Well, next time you guys do that, let me know how it goes for you.
I will. We haven't tried it yet, but we were talking, you know, there's several places because you and I aren't far apart here. You know, I'm down in Middletown and you're up in
Germantown. Yeah.
Germantown. So. Yeah. And there's somebody who has now opened the Middletown Masonic Hall for investigation.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. And the Sword Commercial Building, not the Opera House, but the commercial building next to it.
Oh, I thought it was the Opera House. It's not the Opera House?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I heard that, well, Sean Austin, he's actually a friend of mine. I interviewed him for his 28 Days Haunted?
28 Days, yeah.
Yeah. And he was talking about doing this. I thought I could have swore he said it was a Sorg Opera House because I was so jealous. I was like, how did you get in there? I've been dying to get in there.
No, because I do not think the restoration committee will. They don't even like to talk about it because, you know me, I'll walk in and ask anybody about ghosts in the building.
Yeah.
And I was there for an open house when it first reopened after renovations and stuff.
Very cool.
And here's something interesting. The chairs that are in there now
were
ones from Music Hall.
Were they really?
Yes.
That is so cool.
Music Hall donated them to the Sorg. Also, the architect who designed Music Hall designed the Sorg.
I wonder if some of those chairs brought something with them.
Well,
the Sorg.
We used to have chairs would go up and down all the time in the auditorium. Oh. Now they don't because they're self, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't do it anymore. So I actually went in there one day and said, do you ever have problems with the chairs going up and down? They looked at me like I had two heads, of course. And they don't like to talk about it. So I believe the girl who's doing it, and I've spoken with her once, but not very long. I think it's the commercial building, which is next to the Opera House.
Okay.
What they're investing, but there's no heat in there. So don't do it.
Oh, well, that's most buildings anyway. So, hey, if you're a ghost hunter, man, you got to be tough.
Yeah. I don't know. We did Sorg Opera House years ago when there was no heat, no water, no plumbing, no nothing in it.
Yeah.
It's like, I am freezing my off. I'm ready to go. I'm done. I'm not going to work that hard for the craft. No.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm a cold person anyway, so I love the cold. So that's I thrive. I hate the heat. The heat is horrible. I can't.
Well, I hate the heat too, but this was bitter cold, and it was like, oh my god,
January cold.
Yeah. Yes. Well, January with snow on the ground.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's a bit chilly. Bit chilly.
Yeah. And they forgot to mention that there was no heat or plumbing in it when we arranged the investigation. So.
Oh, so you probably didn't dress accordingly then. Yeah.
Well, how do you go all night without a bathroom?
Well, with men, it didn't have such a problem. They told us we could go down the street and go to the McDonald's.
Yeah. Revenant Acres was like that, too. They didn't have a working bathroom. You had to go about 2 miles down the road to a gas station to go to the bathroom.
You just have to leave it enough time to make sure you'll get there.
Yes. Yes.
Even when I'm not ghost hunting, I have to get up like 3 times to go to the bathroom.
Oh, gosh.
TMI, Ben. TMI. Too much information, buddy.
He's good for that. He's good for that. That's why we love him. Well, Judy, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. It's been awesome chatting with you.
Great.
We're close, so there's no reason the two of us cannot be ghost hunting together, doing something around this area.
Well, I'll tell you another place that I'm going to try to. Actually, I think we're going to hold a meeting there because they'll rent this place to us. And we're just going to list it as we're having our meeting there. Uh-huh. But they've told us we can investigate there is Middletown Historical Society.
They're actually going to let you do that?
I know the vice president, and he said he wouldn't mind me doing it.
Oh,
nice.
If you need somebody else to help you, just give me a call.
I will, because you're right up there. You know what? I think the whole village of Germantown has to be haunted, actually, because... I just get those vibes going through there.
Well, you know, you should come out here some night because I try to walk in the evenings. I haven't been doing it very often lately, but it's, you know, you turn that walk down some of these streets and you're kind of just looking over your shoulder like the whole time because some of these buildings are.
I
live right in the historic, like downtown part. Off of the Market Street. Yeah.
My daughter used to have my granddaughter's birthday parties at the Bijou. And do like the movie.
Oh yeah, I haven't been there yet. Movie
birthday party. So I'm walking in that old theater was always fun too. The Middletown Historical Society used to be a funeral home.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder it's haunted. Wow. Hell.
Yeah. And we went down there just to go through the museum, and he was there volunteering, and how are you, smile and be nice, and he's telling us the stories from down there. And I said, so if I rented this one night, could we investigate? And he said, I wouldn't have a problem with you doing that.
Like, that is awesome.
So we'll work on that, and we'll see if we'll have a special guest that night. Have you come join us or something?
Oh, that would be great. I'll be there in a heartbeat.
All right.
No questions asked.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. We're definitely going to keep in touch. There's no reason why we can't since we're close.
Yep. That's no excuses. Right. Right up the road.
Yes, ma'am.
Ben, it was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.
All right, Judy. We will talk to you soon, right, hon.
See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And if you want to get in touch with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat at abysspodcast1.
And Spotify.
Bye-bye.